Confin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
The beginning of the end of the first half of 2023. And the fishing is only going to get better from here. The summer bite will be on. Then you have the autumn bite. Before you know it, June 21st, the days start to get shorter. Hunting season's coming. Wow! We have a lot of stuff going on. Hey, you're inside Fit Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of June 3rd and 4th. We have a really jammed show. We're going to be talking to JCAA Fluke Tournament. Also, Tom Foti from the JCAA will be talking the striper situation. Have an immediate shout out, though. We're really jammed up against a break already. Really, just a quick shout out, too. Addison, Emily, Brad McLeod. I think it's McLeod, the way the guy wrote it down. I think it's McLeod. And also Les Burridge. Last weekend, up in the Poconos, me and the lovely Dee Marie scouting out some smallmouth spots on Toby Hanna Creek. And we're getting through the parking lot. So this young two guys and three young kids, like, hiking through these woods. They're looking cool, man. They're having a great time. We happen to meet in the parking lot. I'm going by. The guy's backing up, and I see jersey plates. And I see, whoa, Burke Motor Group, our friends down here in Cape May Courthouse. So I lower the window. I said, hey, from Jersey, huh? The guy says, yeah. And I says, oh, man, Burke Motor Group. I know that. He says, are you the guy on the radio? I said, what? He said, are you the guy on the radio? I said, Rack and Fit. He says, yeah, like on your shirt, yes. Man, I listen to you every weekend. Thank you so much for listening. Wow, from here, look what we're looking at. Got 200-plus miles away to Rack and Fin Radio. Influence is going. Hey, just a reminder, too, next Saturday at Lake Lenape, the South Jersey Kayak Bass Fishing Club is holding an open buddy tournament. It's going to run from 7:30 until 2:30. Go to sjbca.org for more information. Really jam show. Grab that cup. Grab that rebel. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio. And a bluefish. Oh, did they show up in size and numbers? Now, I don't think it's going to be like it was, what, 4, 5, 6 years ago, that crazy 2 or 3 year period were insane. Not the racers with the big heads and narrow bodies. These things were huge. It's looking like a racer time, but it's still pretty interesting. You're drifting for flounder, all of a sudden, wham, and you're hooked onto something that's starting to tow the boat, and then beep. Away goes your line. Away goes your gulp. Away goes your S&S bucktail. Oh, well. But blues are always great. Hey, man. Be right back. Again, everything is happening. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5 FM and 1450 AM. South Jersey's Talk Station.
Are you already doing digital advertising sales? Do you know all about targeted displays, social media marketing, the latest in SEM, and behavioral targeting? If so, you could be Town Square Media's new advertising sales star. We are looking for passionate sales professionals to join our media and digital advertising team. If consulting and connecting local businesses with their ideal audience for growth sounds exciting, well, let's have a conversation about you working for Town Square Media right now. Now is the perfect time to join our team as an advertising account executive. Our comp package is amazing, with unlimited earning potential, including base salary, mobile phone, auto package, 401k match, and more, along with world-class training and plenty of room for growth. If you're competitive, driven, and have the ability to communicate great ideas, we want to hear from you. Reach out to Michael Rubel, Market President, at 609-910-5249 or visit careers.townsquaremedia.com. Town Square Media is an equal opportunity employer.
Are they ready? Are you ready? Giving your child their first phone is an important and often difficult decision. After all, it is a milestone in your child's development. The Phone Ready Quiz from the American Academy of Pediatrics can help make this decision easier. Go to healthychildren.org/phone-ready-quiz to take a short questionnaire developed by pediatricians that'll help you decide if you and your child are ready, almost ready, or not yet ready for their first phone. And get tips about how your child can develop a healthy relationship with technology. So, are they ready, almost ready, or not yet ready? What about you? Go to healthychildren.org/phone-ready-quiz today. Just 10 short questions can help you find out. That's healthychildren.org/phone-ready-quiz.
Kids across America are going to school hungry. Millions of kids every day. Hungry kids get sick more often and can struggle in school. It can be harder for them to focus and learn. But one simple thing can help change all of this for a hungry child in America. Good healthy food and the energy it brings. With help from caring people across America, No Kid Hungry is providing healthy meals and hope to hungry kids so they can build better futures.
We want to ensure that all of our kids have healthy meals every day.
Thank you.
Thank you for helping feed our kids.
To learn more about ending child hunger in America, go to helpnokidhungry.org today.
The future depends on teachers. Every day, teachers are shaping our tomorrows, starting their students on journeys that will change the course of history. Right now, in a classroom somewhere in the United States, there's a teacher inspiring a future scientist who will make preventing pandemics their life's work, sharpening the mind of an aspiring environmentalist who will help combat climate change, and generating possibilities for a student who will be the first in their family to graduate college. It all starts with teachers who meet challenges with creativity, who reinvent education for the future, who work towards a school system that lifts up every child, regardless of race, income, or zip code, and who enable the full potential of our students, our communities, and our country. Explore a career that leaves a legacy you can be proud of. Shape the future. Teach. Learn more and receive free support at teach.org.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Chelsea posted one of my blogs yesterday, Friday. Bass puddles. Yeah, hiding in plain sight. I mean, just some of these best little bass waters. Got 1 acre, 2 acre, 3 acre parcels are loaded with largemouths and a bunch of other stuff. Again, it's the free fishing weekend. Get out there. And hey, luck to all fishing. These conditions are fugly. The Raging Raymond Fluke Tournament running today and tomorrow. The ceremony is going to be at the American Legion on Radio Road in Little Egg Harbor, Mystic. That's before you get on the Mystic Island there in, again, Little Egg Harbor tomorrow. So good luck with all out there. But the largest fluke tournament, I'd say, of its kind in the country, any fly fisher involved, is going to be the 27th annual Fluke Tournament, Jersey Coast Anglers Association, June 17th. This is the mother of all fluke tournaments. You know, COVID disrupted some things happening and the economy, whatever. The JCAA and the Fluke Tournament, they are back on track and kicking ass. Grand prize is 16-foot Godfrey pontoon boat, 20 outfitted with a 25 Yamaha outboard and a load right trailer. And again, like last year, people said, "Ah, that's a scam. That's this, that's that." Yeah, that $50,000 shot. If you get a fluke 12 pounds or over, the heaviest fluke 12 pounds or over, if you enter that Calcutta. Join us online right now, longtime friend and acquaintance of Rack and Fin Ritter. Hey, we've been a variance in a few issues, but always one of the greatest individuals I've ever known, especially fighting for anglers' rights, is Tom Foti. He's the legislative chairman of the Jersey Coast Anglers Association and the State Federation of Sportsman's Club, commissioner to the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Council, and he's a commissioner and member of MAFAC. Yeah, the guy wears many, many hats. We're going to talk the tournament. And in another segment, we're going to talk the striper situation. But, Tommy, right now, let's get to the 27th annual JCAA Magna Fluke Tournament. How you doing, little brother?
I'm doing great. It feels like old times. I mean, we're back at a casino.
Yeah.
We're back giving away a $31,000 boat as a door prize. You don't have to catch a fish.
Yeah, buddy, go into that. That's always a kicker to me. Go into that. See, people, even I have a chance. Even Tom P. has a chance.
Well, when Gary Caputi and I were basically designing this tournament about 30 years ago, we decided they wanted a tournament that I could actually win. And I says, well, the only way I could win is you could pull my name out of the hat. And so we designed the tournament around that. So the biggest prize in the tournament has always been a draw prize. Now, last year was only a $13,000 boat, motor, and trailer. But this year, because of New Jersey outboards, they were so good to us, we asked them, do you have a boat for us? They go, yeah. And they handed us a $31,000 boat, motor, and trailer.
Isn't that? Shout out to that sponsor. By the way, Tom, we'll get to your sponsors towards the end of the segment. It is a grand list. Like you said, Tommy, it's getting back to the good old days. I remember the early 2000s. You won, you there were, you know, close to 1,000 boats out there. Everyone's catching fish. The casino, the awards ceremony was packed. And it's a slow but sure track that you guys are getting back on.
Yeah, I mean, this year, because of timing and everything else, we have a little short notice. So it's going to be June 17th. So you need to get your entries in now and go to the webpage. But we're back to where we were, not in numbers. I mean, I'll be happy this year if we have 200 boats. Last year we had less than 100 boats. Now you think about that. You spent $150 to enter the tournament. I'm not talking about cold cutters. Even if you didn't fish and you just went to the award ceremony, because you got to be at the award ceremony,
right,
you have you had less than 1 in 100 chance of winning a boat, motor, and trailer for $150. And so, depending on how many people, it could be, if we have 150, you have a 1 in 150 chance of winning a boat, motor, and trailer. That is better than any lottery, any other
anything. Listen, by the way, today it has to be postmarked. I'll let in today, June 3rd. It's 150. After June 3rd, it's 175. Use the link, jcaa2023.eventbrite, eventbrite.com, to enter online. Time to, and they'll save $25, correct?
Yeah, I mean, it's in there. I mean, also, if you want to do it the old-fashioned way, our new newspaper's up at our webpage right now with a lot of information, especially about striped bass, and also about the tournament. And there's also the four-page insert that we just mailed out. So if you want to go, just go to the regular webpage at jcaa.org, www, and you will basically see everything up there. And all the information and the rules and everything else on the tournament.
Tommy, what's fascinating about this tournament, listen, it's basically a seven-region tournament, Tom, correct? You're competing in the tournament in your region. Yes, and there's, what was it, $1,200 cash, six additional plays with merchandise, prizes, rods, reels, all that good stuff. Go into that prize setup.
Well, when I first designed this tournament, with the Governor's Surf Fishing Tournament, I wanted a coast-wide. We couldn't do that with the Governor's Surf Fishing Tournament. We still just hold it at Island Beach. But I said, if Jersey Coast is going, we should do it from Jersey City all the way down to Fortescue. So we basically added all these ports, and we used to do 14 ports and have different port prizes. Now we had a limited because of the Southern. We haven't got great participation. But we still have seven different regions that you can fish in. And it's all spelled out, the regions and where the weigh-in stations. And we have seven prizes in each region. I mean, so you got a very good chance. I mean, last year we, again, had prizes that we didn't give away because people had not weighed in the fish.
Well, Tom, I think the kicker is going to be this year, listen, again, with all those doubting times we had to scan this and that, you had that gentleman win that extra $50,000 cash prize this year. Go into that. That was a shocker, man.
Yeah, I was fishing up in the Highlands, so we came. Actually, I fished last year. And
you had a chance to fish, Fody?
I did. I'm not fishing this year, but I fished last because this year I got to be a wave master. But I'm still entering the tournament because I still want to win that pontoon boat if I get a chance.
Yeah, absolutely. Pontoons are the cat's ass, man. I love it.
Yes. But, yeah, the last year the guy actually came in with this beautiful fish. I saw the fish, 12 pounds, 4 ounces,
mm-hmm.
and the boat took home, between that fourth prize and the Calcutta prize, he took home $57,000 in cash for that boat.
Whoa. Say that again, Fody.
For the 12-pound, 4-ounce fish, he took home over $57,000 in cash.
Model.
Now, I mean, we didn't make any money last year in the tournament, but he did.
He made out. Because those are seven regions with 11 weigh stations ready to go. Jersey City region, it's going to be Liberty Landing Marina, Shark River region, Tommy Palmisano's place at Fisherman's Den, Barnegat Bay region, South Harbor Marine, Sandy Hook region, Gateway Marina, Manasquan River region, Hoffman's Arena, Long Beach Island region, Greg and crew there at Fisherman's headquarters. The southern region, also checking weighing station, is Great Bay Marina at Tommy's place, Ocean City, a crew of Fanatics, Atlantic City, One Stop Bait and Tackle. Shout out to Noel, my brother, and Cape May's Jim's Bait and Tackle down there in Cape May. So, Tom, you have a lot of the region covered, so this is going to be it, man.
Yeah, and I'm looking, we used to have 1,000 boats. This would kept Jersey Coast running. And we've been running in the deficit since 2007, since the economy cashed and the fluke tournament started cashing it. I know the regulations aren't the best this year. I see Jim Hutchinson was complaining about how we had to release a fish. But, you know, all you need is one fish.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we've had more than one 12-pound to weight in over the years. I remember a guy in Shark River. He was fishing from a rowboat and landed a 14-pounder in Shark River.
I remember that.
He would have paid us $25. Then we had a guy one year that forgot to check off the $25, and he looked at it, he says, I just lost $50,000. I go, oh, you did.
Yeah, you did.
I mean,
well, Tom,
so if you're filling out the application, make sure you check off. If you're going to fish, make sure you check off the $25.
Tom, again, the unique concept in tournaments, the seven regions. Listen, it's a win-win all around. And there's Calcuttas that enter per the region. And, Tom, there's an overall Calcutta setup, correct?
Yes. I mean, Paul Hartel likes to do all the work on that, so we've got all these Calcuttas. And you've got a lot of ways of winning money, and they're up there. All the information's on the webpage. I'm not going to go into it here, but you know how most of you that enter Calcuttas know how that runs.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't make a lot of money. We just do the recording of it, so make sure it gets out by doing the Calcuttas. But it makes you win a bigger prize if you get a bigger fish.
Okay, Tom, now let's go into the award ceremony. Where, when, what's the dealio?
Well, the award ceremony is back at Resorts. We're basically going to be there the 23rd, night of the 23rd, which is a Friday night. We'll start having people come in at 3 o'clock. Now, to win the boat, the only problem, to win the boat, motor, and trailer, you got to be present.
Mm-hmm.
So even if we have 200 boats, and a lot of them don't come to the award ceremony, because they say, well, I'm not going to win the boat, you got a greater chance of winning.
That's right.
Usually we only have two-thirds of the boats show up that actually entered the tournament because they don't want to travel from North Jersey. They don't want to travel from Fortescue. So, basically, it increases your chances of winning the boat, motor, and trailer. And we give away about, while we're waiting to do all the ceremonies and everything, we give away about 40 or 50 door prizes.
Right, yeah.
Depending on the number of boats. And also, Resorts is sending me a paper with special promotions they're going to have for that night. And I'll be sending that out as a news alert. So if you're not on the Jersey Coast News Alert, go to the webpage and just subscribe to that, and you'll get our newspaper and any alerts that we put out, not just on tournaments, but on all the issues that are basically affecting us, like stupid striped bass regulations.
We will get into that, listeners, in the next segment. So hold, God, I haven't heard this term since I was a kid. Hold your horses. Well, Tom, let me tell you something. We're speaking with Tom Foti. He is the legislative chairman, Jersey Coast Angler Association, State Federation of Sportsman's Club, Commissioner of the Atlantic States Marine Fishery. Ad infinitum. We go into it all the time. I said, Foti, how do you change hats or do you change heads here? But, Tom, it has to be a gratifying feeling. See, again, it's a slow comeback. But it is a comeback. How do you see this playing out in the next few years?
Well, I'll tell you the truth, Tom. If we don't get some young bodies into the Jersey Coast and to all the organizations, the clubs, we're going to be suffering. I mean, when I first started working with Jersey Coast, I was in 1983. You know, I was in my early 40s, and when I got on the board, I was the fifth youngest board member, probably at 47 or something like that.
Hey, I remember that stud promotion photo of you holding that huge striper photo. I remember that. You had hair then.
Yeah, I did have hair, and it was also like kind of reddish.
Reddish.
Now I'm sitting. I am now 70. I just turned 76 last month.
God bless you.
And I'm still the fifth youngest board member. That's a problem. I got the Marantas, who are both 81. I got, you know, John Toth is 78. And Bill Brown is in his 70s, older than me. I mean, we need some of the young people to get involved in the organization, whether it's the New Jersey State Federation of Sportsmen Clubs, whether it's Jersey Coast, whether it's the RFA. You need to get involved because we can't do this without you. And we're losing people, as you know.
Well, Tom, let me ask you this. Do you think the social media craze has diluted the need for people wanting to get involved because everything's so easy? All the information's here, there. They'll take care of it. No, they'll take care of it. That group will take care of it. And who cares as long as I can get to go fishing? That's what I'm seeing.
Yeah, and I also see that a lot of the people when I first joined Jersey Coast, we were all veterans. We were used to working as a team to get things accomplished. And we also discussed it with everything that was going on. So we started working, whether it was environmental issues and everything else that we've dealt with. Jersey Coast over the years has dealt with one of the greatest projects I ever have is all the environmental issues. You know, stop ocean dumping and dioxin.
I remember that, yeah.
Garbage dumping. People forget that we were in the middle of all those battles. But these are the people that did that. This is not happening without people getting, not just on your phone to get involved, not behind just your computer, but you got to be in person because you got to go to meetings. You got to go to, you know, the time-consuming part because none of us want to go to meetings. I mean, I just spent 3 days because I couldn't go to San Diego for the meeting, but I spent 3 days on 9-hour phone calls for fisheries in San Diego.
I got it crazy.
Yeah. So we need to get young people involved. And, you know, and stop in an event like this, whether it's Jersey Coast Tournament or one of the other clubs' mm-hmm. tournaments. You know, go out and meet the people in the clubs. You get a lot of good information. I mean, I went to one of the clubs the other day, one of my Atlantic Saltwater Fly Rods, and there was a guy making a presentation. And I know him. He's a good friend of mine. And I left in about an hour into his presentation. So he grabbed me at the Saltwater Expo. He says, "Tom, why'd you leave?" I says, "Because you're depressing the hell out of me." I says, "I'm too old to fish those spots that you're telling me about, which you should have told me about 25 years ago.
All the striped
bass." I says, "I can't risk falling, which I just did on a boat. But I can't risk falling off the sod banks or something like that." But that's where you learn all that information.
Sure.
And they share with members. So get involved, whether it's Jersey Coast or just your local club or that, Epsecan Saltwater Anglers, well, Hudson River Fishermen's Association or Berkeley Striper Club. There's a lot of good clubs out there with a lot of people that care.
Listen, Tom Foti's our guest on Rack and Fin Radio today. Topic was the JCAA 27th Annual Fluke Tournament. Fishing date, June 17th. Awards ceremony, June 23rd. Tens of thousands in cash and prizes. $50,000 doormat fluke prize. You got to be in it to win it. There's some of the sponsors: New Jersey Outboards, Godfrey Pontoons, Yamaha. Shout out to Resorts. I remember someone there when Merv owned it. Great Pure Fishing. Shout out to Johnny Proc now there. Power Bait and the Gulp Master, and also Engel Coolers and loads of others. You want to join? Now, listen, it has to be by today, postmarked by today. It's $150 per boat for up to six anglers. Use the link jcaa2023.eventbrite, eventbrite.com to enter online. Coming up, we're talking stripers with Tom Foti. Grab that cup, grab that rebel. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio. This is a big money tournament. Tom, again, how much did that guy walk away with last year?
$57,000 in cash.
$57,000. Oh, gotta love it. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5 FM and 1450 AM. South Jersey's talk station.
I'm Ann Eliopoulos with your Fox True Crime Minute. A former Family Feud contestant found guilty this week of murder for shooting and killing his wife. 40-year-old Timothy Bleefnik broke through a second-story window and shot 41-year-old Rebecca Possel Bleefnik 14 times, her father finding the body on February 23rd. She was a mother of three, a nurse, and a fixture in her local church. In March, police were searching Bleefnik's home and found shell casings state forensic experts said were from the murder weapon. An old friend of the couple telling Fox and Friends,
"When we knew Tim and Becky, that was when they had gotten engaged and were getting married, and it was a very happy time in their life. And, you know, no, I would have never thought that Tim could do something like this."
On Family Feud, one of the questions was, "What's the biggest mistake at your wedding?" Bleefnik answered, "Honey, I love you, but said I do." You can get more on this story at foxnews.com. Subscribe now to the Fox True Crime Podcast with Emily Campagno. I'm Ann Eliopoulos with your Fox True Crime Minute.
I know a lot of you really want the State Farm Personal Price Plan, but what's with the oversharing? Like this voicemail from Leah.
"Jake from State Farm. Listen, so sometimes I like to nibble on licorice and pretend I'm a teeny mouse chewing through wires."
You don't need to get that personal. The State Farm Personal Price Plan helps you create an affordable price just for you. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Call or go to statefarm.com for a quote today.
Prices vary by state. Options selected by customer. Availability and eligibility may vary.
Hi, Robert Downey Jr. here. Did you know that over $10.3 billion was lost to online crime last year alone? Online crime is a huge problem. It affects everyone, and that's why I've partnered with Aura. Aura gives you the tools you need to stay safe online. Fraud and identity theft protection, a password manager, parental controls, and more. Sign up for a free two-week trial today at aura.com/Robert.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Here we go. Look out below. Back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of June 2nd and 3rd. The JCAA, the 27th annual fluke tournament, used to be huge. I remember 1,000 boats, 1,200 boats. Nowhere near that, but it is coming back. A lot of money involved, great prizes, cash prizes, merchandise. If you want to see, go to the JCAA website to find out the full list of prizes. Will blow your mind. $150 per boat, up to six anglers. Buy today, buy tonight. I gave you the website. Go to it, the site to get it on there, or postmark buy today. You'll save yourself $25. It's going to be a super, super tournament. Let's get to the stripers. Okay, what's going on now? The meeting last month. I have a special meeting sometime in June. I forget what the date was. I just got to know. I didn't really pay much attention because I think it's a done deal. The thing about going out of compliance. What brought this all about? Actually, a couple of charter captains talking to. We're out there enjoying a cold one. Guys, Tommy P, you know, we wrapped our heads around, okay, let's help with the resource. 28 to less than 38. Then they came and kicked us in the nuts with this 28 to 31, and we're just not gonna fish anymore, you know? So again, and there was a talk about going out of compliance. Shout out to Greg Kudnick there at Fisherman's Headquarters who said, you do that, you're gonna be killing a lot of businesses in the fall that depend on that striped bass business. So what, you know, and you have the hardcore, the hardliners, the ones that want to work. What is happening with this? Well, who better to tell all about it than Tom Foti, Legislative Chairman, Jersey Coast Anglers Association, State Federation of Sportsmen's Club, a legislative juggernaut who is sometimes, I don't know how, he just said he was 78, I don't know how he does it. Sorry, Foti, got a little bit carried away there, but this is, I guess it's coming to a head, so to speak, maybe a lot of uproar about nothing, because will they comply, the New Jersey Marine Fisheries Council? Will they not? What are you hearing? What are you seeing? What are you feeling, Foti?
I'm feeling total disgust. I mean, truthfully, I've been involved in managing striped bass since the 70s when Bob Pond called me in and when he did a presentation at the Berkeley Striper Club. So I started getting involved, and then I got involved with Jersey Coast. What I did in this month's Jersey Coast newspaper, please go and download the copy from the internet. Basically, I went through my history working on striped bass. And what happened when we basically looked at Jersey Coast decided to make a vote that we were going to make striped bass a game fish
right,
in New Jersey.
Oh, that didn't win you any friends, from what I understand.
What's interesting, the guys that beat me up the most, all these catch and release fishermen, were the guys that were selling all those striped bass back then. A lot of them.
Oh, that's right, yeah. Yeah.
It's truth. I mean, I get, you know, I know all of them because I fished with them. It was, you know, when we supported making striped bass a game fish, we had five clubs drop out of Jersey Coast because their guys were pinhookers. They made money selling fish, striped bass. A lot of my friends did, and they weren't happy with me, so I always seemed to be losing friends over striped bass. So I was just the vice president. But anyway, the story goes into telling how John Geiser basically started attacking Jersey Coast because we were supporting striped bass game fish.
Geiser?
Just in New Jersey. Yes.
From the Asbury Park Press? John Geiser. I used to write for him.
Because he listened to Joe Lopresti that was running the Stevens Bait and Tackle, and he was brokering the fish for the pinhookers. So, you know, that would have hurt his business. So it was complicated. But I decided, you know, I'm sometimes a thick-headed Italian.
No!
I'm vice president, and you start attacking my family, I put my full blood, I stopped doing everything. I stopped bicycling, I used to bicycle 7,000, stopped playing racquetball, and just dedicated to making striped bass a game fish. And everybody said you can't do it, because Bill Feinberg, you remember Bill Feinberg?
Sure.
Bearsburg Park, they had tried to do it in 1939, then they had to try to do it again in 52. They came close. That's when the 10-fish bag limit in New Jersey came in. But And I had state senators from New York, Senator Owen Johnson, because I was just appointed to the commission. And he says, what are you going to do? I'm going to make striped bass game fish in New Jersey. He says, yeah. He laughed at me. He says, yes, that's good. Good job, young man. But, you know, it's politics.
Right.
And so the next year I showed up, he says, you did it. How'd you do it? I says, I just knew I could do it. And I didn't believe I couldn't do it. And the people got behind it. And plus, every newspaper in New Jersey got behind it. Besides the Asbury Park
Tom,
Press.
Yeah, now what caused that swing? I remember this as if it were yesterday, Fody. That swing, it was an event. It was, you're like, wow, how did this guy pull this off? And other people involved naturally. But what do you think was a turning point, Fody?
When I started when I increased the Jersey Coast membership, when those five clubs dropped out, Jersey Coast had at 32 clubs, and it went to 27. By the time we got the bill passed, I had 105 clubs from New Jersey. And Jersey Coast Anglers from Maine to North Carolina, because we were the only people doing anything on it. And we, you know, the Maryland Sport Fishing Association, the CCAs, we were working with all of them. And so when we got it passed in New Jersey, Jersey started focusing on coastwide. And we used to do meetings every year at ASA. The Fisherman Magazine used to pay for the guys for their meals. Maybe some of them they need a little expense to get to the meetings. But we used to do it at Island Beach State Park, or we're having a Striped Bass board meeting.
Right.
And so we really did it. And the senator, Senator Owen Johnson from New York, says, after I did it, he says, let's try doing it in New York. And we had 500 people on Jones Beach with George Gaka, Steve Sloan, Fred Schwab, all these old-timers that basically were. And we were trying to, because I actually belonged to Save Our Stripers in New York when I lived in New York before I basically moved to New Jersey. And that's what their job was to do, make game fish. We couldn't get it past the Assembly. We got it past the Senate. And Maryland fell apart because they cut a deal down there with the charter and party boats.
Mm-hmm.
And now all these organizations that were supposed to be working to striped bass game fish have stopped. And they're busy beating up the recreational sector, not allowing them to catch fish. Okay, let's talk about what's happening right now.
Right.
We had a meeting. We were supposed to do a meeting to discuss striped bass, proposing a new addendum in case we had some bad information. What happened is there was a huge, the figure just came out of the striped bass catch for 22, and the catch was very high. As you know, we had a great season. We had a fantastic season off New Jersey in the 22, which I couldn't fish because my back went out, but everybody else was catching big fish, small fish, all sizes of fish.
Right.
So when they said they looked at the numbers and they said when they instituted the size limit, this is too great a number of fish, we're not going to accomplish our goal on rebuilding this stock. Well, they're rebuilding to a number that we never had except in 95 and never will have, but that's beside the point. So they says, what are we going to do? We're going to do an addendum. I find out the Friday before the Monday meeting is that somebody's going to come in and try an emergency action, which we use for an emergency. They had went to the technical committee, and, you know, one of these guys that wrote, why did New Jersey not vote for this? You know, why do you pay attention to the science? I said, wait a minute, young man. And he says, what the science said? The technical committee that has all the scientists said we didn't need to do this. They didn't support putting this emergency action. So this was put on. And it's put on by the same guys that really have been pushing strictly catch and release. Now, they say they don't want people to be able to take home fish, but you know that's not true with a lot of them.
Sure.
They don't want us to kill any stripe, which is fine as long as you let the other people live. When we were making stripe as a game fish, one of the reasons I got involved with it, because I looked at it as a fish that the common man has as a real, you know, a real ward fish. I mean, they're not going to catch a giant marlin or a bluefin tuna from beach, but they can be another Reynolds and catch a 77-pounder, hold the world record when you're a lifeguard just fishing off a jetty. I mean, that's something for some people to shoot for. And, you know, it also allowed people that wanted to take food home to eat, you know, and they would basically be able to take a striped bass. You think about it, the reason we have all these striped bass fishermen, because we've basically eliminated them from black sea bass. We have these crazy seasons on summer flounder. We have this first crazy season now on scub, where we take a reduction on a species that we have two times target.
Tom, they're eating the paint off the bottom of the boat, the porgies.
I mean, it's really interesting. And what's doing is the recreational fishermen, and some of these guys that are the biggest mouths, They're the ones that support commercial fishermen in New York and everything else. They don't say a word against them. Matter of fact, they pretty much leave them alone. They also, and the other problem we have here is Maryland says, if you guys along the coast want to be stupid, go ahead and do that and cut off your fishery because it gives us more fish. The real problem here, Tom, is we should really look at it one day. I've sent you this document. I don't know if you looked at it years ago. I'm going to send it to you again. In 1952, the director of Fish and Wildlife in New Jersey decided that the most important thing for Fish and Wildlife will be in 20 or 30 years is marine fisheries. That's where the money will be. That's where the income will be. And decided to do a real study on recreational fishing in New Jersey. And so I have this study, and it's amazing. To do those types of studies right now, the same way they did it back then, would cost you more than the budget for all the marine fisheries. That's how much work went into this. And it basically tells you where deliveries, remember we used to vet rowboats, how much it would cost you for the rowboat, where you could buy bait, what the cost of bait was. It was all in there. All the economic data that we should have nowadays, it was in this study. And when you look at what they were fishing, it tells what the party boats were fishing for, the charter boats were fishing for, what the rowboats were fishing for.
Uh-huh.
And you look at the species they were fishing at. I was just at a, as I told you, two-day meeting. We were sitting there talking. It was talking about, you know, the species that we fished for back there are no longer here. You think about what was the most popular. It was a striped bass. Striped bass was an afterthought. It was for the guys like you and me that were out there in the middle of the night in jetties. Mm-hmm. But back then it was weak fish. It was winter flounder. It was it was scup. It was blackfish, and it was a lot. And it was also mackerel.
What are they? Listen, we're not talking chub mackerel here. We're talking I call them the Bostons. Tom,
yes.
They're gone. What the gone? The winter flounder gone. Weak fish. Some coming back. I don't know. It's a mess.
Well, you know what? If you look at when we started losing these species. You know, my father talks about, before he passed away many years ago, during the Depression, he used to basically haul seine on Coney Island in the wintertime, you know, October, November, the water was almost freezing, to get whiting to take the randazzos in the Fulton Fish Market. And remember that people used to be able to walk them up on the beach because they would freeze in the cold weather.
That's where the term frost fish came from. Remember that?
That's right.
The silver hake, the whiting, and the ling.
Well, you don't have it when you got 42-degree temperature all winter long. And that is, if you look at all these species that disappeared, they were the cold species. They required cold water. And so they started disappearing from it. The problem with striped bass also is the health of the Chesapeake Bay. I mean, Virginia, in its infinite wisdom, decided to put blue catfish in there. Now, blue catfish go up to 100-and-something pounds.
Yeah.
The biggest one they just caught in the commercial fishery was 95 pounds. And you know the mouth of a catfish. They suck everything and all the fry of every species. Now, this is running rampant through the Chesapeake Bay.
Hey, Tommy, they're in the Delaware River here.
Yeah.
They're already been caught, documented, yeah.
Also, what I'm thinking happened. Now, here's where we can never win. You think about it. 4 years ago, when we had bad fishing inshore, people says we need to basically not fish. We've got to reduce the catch of fish because we don't have fish here. So what happens? We get a big slug of fish coming in because the conditions were perfect. The warm water, the Menhaden, everything was on the beach. The fish came in, and they never left because the water was in the middle of winter. It was still 42 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
So you have this warm, perfect storm, and they catch a lot of fish. So when we catch no fish, they got to reduce us. When we catch too many fish, they're going to reduce us.
Yeah.
We can't win. I mean, I might as well sit here and say, whoa, this is a new world. You can't win. They got the cards stacked against us.
Tommy, you and Hutch Jr. said pretty much saying the same thing. It's the first of fingers always point to the recreational fishermen as a cause.
I mean, and it's not. I mean, we look at the Chesapeake. You also, what they should be looking at, a lot of these fishermen are coming in now. You know, he says, well, this is the 2015 year class. Okay, I'm out 3 weeks ago, and we couldn't keep a fish because they were the 2015 year class. They were 2010 and they 2005. They were all big fish.
Mm-hmm.
And matter of fact, now, I didn't go on the next trip because I went, you know, clumsy me, fell in the boat and banged my head. So I've been suffering with a bad back and a bad neck for the last month. But the next trip that I was supposed to go on, they had 18 fish. No keepers, because everything was over 38 inches. Not over 35, over 38 inches.
Yeah.
So these are year classes that go on. So where have these fish been? They've been offshore in the big schools. Also, because of the Chesapeake Bay, where are the striped bass spawning now? If the water is not conducive to being going in the Chesapeake Bay, we know that in the Miramichi, if you go salmon fishing for Atlantic salmon in the Miramichi, the striped bass are eating the hell out of them.
Sorry, there's a bounty on them out there, is it?
Yeah, I mean, it's gotten ridiculous. Now, I think there's more rivers going further north because the climate and the conditions are better in those rivers. It's going to be bigger in producing area. But we don't even take into consideration that the Delaware River and the Hudson River are spawning areas. Because I had to leave a meeting, me and Bruce Freeman, years ago when we got out, Gordon Colvin pulled the fast one and basically did away with New York and, with the Hudson River and Delaware River's producing areas. And we can never get it back in the plan. I demanded that at this meeting. So it's going to be too late to do. You're going to be stuck with this 3-inch slot limit for a while.
Tom, I was just going to ask you, we're up against a heartbreak. Listeners, joining us online is Tom Foti, Legislative Chairman, Jersey Coast Anglers Association, State Federation of Sportsmen Club, Commissioner to the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission, and a member of MAFAC. Well, Tom, we only have a couple of minutes. So I was just going to ask you that. How long? 3 years, 5 years with this 28 to 31? Or can you see it 28 to 30 or 28 to 29? And eventually, I think this would be the thing, catch and release only. I'm going to say it again, the guides associate, sort of guides, and you know, again, you don't even have to be a member. You don't have to be a guide, rather, to be a member. I think, Tom, the ultimate goal, the wet dream, is catch and release. Oh, well, we want you to keep a fish to eat. That's BS. My opinion.
Here's what my opinion. Do you know one regulation that we basically got that went back the other way? Was it summer flounder, scub, black sea bass? None of it has gone the other way. And once you go down to 3 inches, where the hell do you go from there?
Yeah.
Now, there's going to be an amendment to the plan. And I think the silent majority, the guys that fish from the beach, that fish for the boats, that want to take home for their families to eat, and they really respect striped bass, will realize, because all you do by catch and release now, those guys, when they catch a fish to take home to eat, they leave sometimes. They don't sit there and catch 100 fish. But you and I know guys that will go out there, they're in a school of fish, they'll catch them all day long.
Yep.
And they got to affect hook and release mortality. So this new addendum, when it comes out, that's when you guys need to start showing up to public hearings. What you also need to do is wake up your friends that fish in Massachusetts and Maine and all over to tell them, this is stupid. We're going to lose this fishery. And it's going to be a fishery that's a shame that, you know, when we first got here as pilgrims, they basically, that's one of the first fish they started harvesting was striped bass.
Mm-hmm.
It fed them as pilgrims. So it's a shame what they're doing to it. I'm frustrated. You can hear it in my voice. And nobody's working on striped bass game fish anymore. And there's still poaching going on. You know what goes on in the Raritan River. Raritan Bay in New York side. There's the markets in Staten Island. It's Brooklyn.
What's happening.
And every time they've done a big sting, what was it? The sting was a couple million pounds of being poached fish in Maryland a couple of years ago. It happens. So besides, it's just very difficult. I know you're short time. We should do a conversation on this when you have a longer period of time to do it and really start looking. And I'm going to put together a paper using this study I look at and point out all the species that have disappeared from New Jersey's waters and the New York Bight waters over the years.
Well, Tommy, thanks for joining us on Rack and Fin Radio. I hope you're feeling better. Let's fish one of these days, Foti. Forget going to dinner. Forget hanging out on your back deck doing some wine and provolone and super sauce. Let's go fishing.
Anytime you want. As soon as my back is better, I'll go.
Okay, Tommy, you take care. Listeners, again, Tom Foti, JCAA, the 27th Annual Fluke Tournament is going to be on June 17th. Go to jcaa.org for the information. Tom, best to Linda. Hope to see you soon, bud.
Yeah, and, you know, Tom, thank you for what you do. There's very few people out there. We've lost all the reporters in the newspapers. Unlike a voice like you, we're nowhere.
Well, Tommy, thanks much. You take care, man. We'll see you. A little long on that segment up against a break. Grab that cup, grab that Red Bull. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
Where's the best place to get local news for Atlantic and Cape May counties? The WPG Talk Radio app. Where's the best place to get the latest weather forecast? The WPG Talk Radio app. And what's the best way to listen to WPG on your phone, tablet, Apple CarPlay, or Android Auto? The WPG Talk Radio app. Download it for free today in the App Store or Google Play. South Jersey's talk station, WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Fox News, I'm Carmen Roberts. President Biden will sign the debt ceiling bill into law today, just 2 days before the default deadline.
In an Oval Office address, the first of the president's term, he said, well, no one got everything they wanted. The American people got what they needed.
We're protecting important priorities from Social Security to Medicare to Medicaid to veterans to our transformational investments in infrastructure and clean energy.
Republican supporters say the agreement locks in meaningful spending cuts and caps new spending over several years.
Fox's Jared Halperin. Two trains derailed in India yesterday, killing at least 288 people. Some 900 are injured, with hundreds trapped in the wreckage. And West Virginia State Trooper Sergeant Corey Maynard died last night in the line of duty, killed in an ambush-style shooting. America's listening to Fox News.
Your WPG Talk Radio 95.5 AccuWeather forecast for South Jersey. Overnight, we'll see a moonlit sky. Expect an overnight low of 55. Saturday, some sunshine, then turning cloudy with a refreshing breeze. We'll reach a high Saturday of 69. Saturday night, low clouds, maybe some clearing, below 51. Sunday, times of clouds and sun at a high of 74. I'm AccuWeather's Drew Shannon on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
It is free fishing day in New Jersey. Residents, you don't need a license or a trout stamp to experience the great freshwater fishing in New Jersey, especially here in the South Jersey. The southern tier counties are loaded. Hey, man, even want to count the invasives. You have to. How could you not? The flatheads, the snakeheads. Blue catfish are now showing up. Everything is happening. A great freshwater fishing scene in Jersey. Weather today may not be the best. However, there are plenty of opportunities. Here to shed some light on South Jersey's great freshwater fishing opportunities is Jeff from Blackwater Sports Center, 228 North Delcy Drive in Vineland. Jeff, freshwater fishing kicks ass in South Jersey, does it not?
Yeah, it's great around here. It's a ton of opportunity close by for a ton of species, from largemouth, smallmouth, snakeheads, crappy, basically everything you just said. It's great opportunity to fish around here.
Yeah, people don't realize the smallmouth fishery in Union Lake, unless there's a trout in-stocking period just closed down. But, you know, the South Jersey hasn't been stocked in probably 3 or 4 weeks. Still plenty of trout there in the Morris River. They're still around, and so guys are still going for that. But, yeah, places like, and you don't really hear about it, like Iona Lake, places like that, loaded with quality largemouths.
Yes, loaded, and they'll eat those trout that get stocked there. The quality gets there.
Uh-huh. Jeff, yep. Most popular down your way, is it the largemouth? What about things like pickerel, the channel? Again, the state puts out tons and tons of channel cats every year. What's your take?
So definitely largemouth are targeted the most. Pickerel are kind of a byproduct. Mm-hmm. And then you got some guys that are really starting to key in on that smallmouth population that's in Union. Some nice quality 3- and 4-pound fish have been caught this spring down there. Mm-hmm. And believe it or not, there's a lot of people starting to target the skui and the stripers that live like in the rivers on like the Morris River and the Egg Harbor. I got guys
there
catching 30-plus-inch fish.
Oh, yeah, that Egg Harbor, that's one of my white perch areas. And right there below is that Lake Lenape.
Yeah,
I've seen bass 32, 33 inches caught in there.
That is a huge fish lake right there. There are some really good fish in that lake.
Jeff, what's the attitude insofar as, like, the snakeheads, you were supposed to kill them at first, now guys are catching them, release them. I just don't hope they're spreading them around because they're going to spread around on their own. More and more acceptance, that's a tremendous game fish.
Yes, it is. I would say the majority now have accepted that they're here. And a lot of people are even going out and targeting them, including myself. I've been out in a few places like the Salem Canal and stuff like that that is loaded with them. And we're targeting them to catch them because
they're badass,
explosions,
man.
When they hit,
it's
crazy. They are a very strong fighting fish. And catch them in the right place, really good table fare.
Oh, yeah. Jeff, have you noticed a slight increase, or is it steady, maybe a decrease, in the interest in freshwater fishing down your way?
To be honest, since COVID, the increase has increased probably at least double.
Whoa!
It became something that families could do, and I'm still seeing that type of participation, you know, happening, you know, locally and stuff like that. So I think it's really increased in this area.
Jeff, you know what I'm finding out, too? I've noticed this over the years. I used to fish East Creek Lake, you know, East Creek and the whole bit. I'm noticing an increase, albeit slightly, but still an increase, interest in these giant carp, these tidewater carp. These things are like buses.
Yes. Yeah, and they're seeing that stuff online and stuff, and, you know, you catch a 15 to 20 pound carp, it's like you're pulling a tractor trailer through the water. So yeah, you're seeing people target these things, and, you know, and be specific to a species. Yes.
Well, Jeff, anyone who wants to get out today, ease of access. Great. Now, listen, we have great panfish too, crappies, bluegills. It's loaded. White perch, yellow perch. Throw a couple of lakes out in your area. People have a shot at having some fun today and, you know, through the weekend.
Well, the best place closest to us is Parvin State Park.
Oh, I knew you were going to say that. Oh.
The state takes good care of it.
Yep.
You know, it's clean, easy walkways and stuff like that. It does get a lot of pressure in the summertime, but it's nice and close and easy. One of my favorites is Sunset Lake over in Bridgeton.
Yeah.
A lot of good fish in there.
I like to go to Mary Elmer, just the lake just above that. Oh, whoa, yeah. It's nice.
Yeah, Mary Elmer, they stock with trout, and, yep, and there's that's one of those sleepers. Mm-hmm. You know, it's one of the sleeper lakes. And then up over my way, you know, I do a lot of fishing. I live in Woodstown, so I do a lot of fishing at Daretown Lake and stuff like that. That little lake will give people problems, but there's some good fish in there.
And there you go. Listeners, it's Blackwater Sports Center, 228 North Delsey Drive in Vaughan. You want to get in some great South Jersey freshwater fishing, this is the place to contact. Jeff, give that website, please. Facebook, what do you got?
Facebook, where it's Blackwater Sports Center. And then if you want to shop online, it's shop@blackwatersportscenter.com.
Hey, Jeff, let me ask you this before I let you go. In the business you're in, now it's already transitioning into the bow season. I get that.
Yep.
When do you, or how do you do it? How do you make the time for yourself to get actually on the water?
It's taking a couple hours and actually putting it on the schedule with three kids and running a business.
Oh, wow.
You actually got to schedule it in.
You got three now. Wow.
Yeah.
Jeff, you take care. Have a great weekend. Thanks again.
Thank you, Tom.
We'll see you, man.
See ya. Bye.
Yeah, just some great fish. Hey, right down the street here from the Rack and Fin Radio Studio, Birch Grove Park Ponds, loaded. You have Bargantown Lake, loaded. A lot of areas. At Egg Harbor River, like I mentioned, up the Tidal Creek, all the way up there. Loaded. You got white perch in there. You have stripers in there. And the Lake Lenape itself. Whoa. There are some big bass in there. And up in the back, you have pickerel as long as your freaking leg almost. Okay, man. Hey, we're up against a break. Free fishing day today. Get out there and enjoy. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5 FM and 1450 AM. South Jersey's Talk Station.
Go ahead and live your best life.
There are over a million winning tickets from the New Jersey Lottery every week.
I'm here for a good time. No lack of my sunshine. So just go through what you like. Cause you can live your best life.
So get out and play during 101 Days of Summer. There's tons of fun events, games, and prizes happening all across Jersey. Visit 101daysofsummer.com to learn more. Must be 18 years old and buy a lottery ticket. Please play responsibly. If you or somebody who knows a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Hey, that's it for this week on Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Again, I'm going to harp on again. Free fishing weekend. How good is this? Okay, granted, it was North Jersey. It could be anywhere in a couple of hours in New Jersey. Jim Piasek, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, I hope. New state record hybrid striped bass that caught other few days ago out of Monksville Reservoir. Now, they just broke the record less than a year ago. 17 pounds, 12 ounces. Does Jersey have great freshwater fishing? Or I just wish the Bureau of Freshwater Fisheries, let's get some more hybrids down this way. What's it, a 1 in 15 million thousand chance that they could fertile and breed? Just a tremendous game fish. Hey, God bless America. God bless our troops. God bless our first responders. God bless law enforcement. I know the weather's not the greatest. Get out there and enjoy. Get out there and today, free fishing day. And by the way, that fluking is, and the bays have been dirty. It's a snock risk and everything coming up, but it is going to improve. And sea bass is still insane. See you next week. Rack and Fin Radio.